Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good Sunday afternoon, and thank you for spending some of your Sunday afternoon time with us here on The Man's Voice. This is Sunday, March the 5th, and we are talking about things that we have on our minds, although there's not a lot going on other than a lot of politics again. We've been trying to talk about a lot of other issues, but it seems that, wait a minute, what's going on here? One of the things that just keeps happening is politics, and there's a lot going on in terms of this piece with Trump, who as of this morning, he's demanding that the Republican-controlled Congress pursue conspiracy theory charges against the past president, investigation, and to couple it with the Russian investigation that they're doing. What do you think about that, Ron?
Well, I'm really tired of all I hear about when you turn on the news is Trump this and Trump that. And I was actually, I didn't vote for Trump, but after his address to the nation recently, he sounded a little bit more even keeled than he has. And so I said, okay, well, maybe I need to, give this a chance and see what happens. Maybe he's not as bad as I thought he was. And then, of course, this morning, in the last couple of days, all hell broke loose again. And, I was watching Meet the Press this morning. And to me, what did it was that the former National Security Advisor Director, I think is his title, came on Meet the Press this morning, and he basically said that in terms of the allegation that Obama ordered wiretapping of Trump Tower, he basically said that he denied that. And he said that he would have known about that had it been ordered by a judge. And so he denied that that's the case, which to me, either way, Trump is going to be in trouble. I think he's actually digging his own grave, because had it been true, the whole country would have been up in arms about, that's a very potent thing to accuse somebody of. And if it's true, then, that's bad news for the entire country. But if it was false, which it appears to be at this point, why is he making allegations like that? Is he 15 years old? I mean, come on. Who gets up at 4 or 5 in the morning and starts tweeting crazy things like that? So, again, I was going to give the guy a chance after his address, and now I'm back to, the same notion that I had of him during the election process. No respect.
Bruce, what do you think about this that's going on? I have my thoughts, but it just came out of nowhere. Where do you think, what do you think is going on?
Well, to expand on what Ron said, I agree with the message that Ron just said, but I look at it a little different. I think even the supporters of Trump, whoever they are, and there's a large number of them as well, they're going to get, I think we're starting to hear people are going to say along the same lines as you, Ron, that even his supporters are going to get tired of this na-na-na-na-na kind of stuff. And he just needs to be more, as they say, trite phrase or overused phrase, more presidential. Let some of this go. And I start to get the sense that to some degree, he's got to have the last word. He has been mistreated by some of the press. I do not doubt that. And based on what I've seen, I agree with that. But he is now the president of the United States. And some of this stuff he has to let go. People are not going to chastise him for letting go of it. Matter of fact, they're not going to like it, as I said, if he keeps going on and on. And that seems to be the only thing that fills the airwaves. So if he would just let some of that roll off his back, whatever phrase you want to use, and get to the focus on the things he's doing to be president and do and fulfill his agenda, that's what I think the people that voted for him expect. And the more he wavers from that, I would bet that even some of his high-level officials are telling him that. But he's a, you know, he's a man of his own, sink or swim, good or bad. And someone's got to make him understand that he can't go after every little comment or every little thing and be the last word. People are going to get tired of that.
I think so. Jeremiah, as the young kid, the young guy of the group, what do you think about all this?
When I initially saw the all the tweets that Trump put out about the situation, I was like, here we go again, thinking about before he actually became the president, of all the different things that were put out, negative or positive. But he's not acting like a president. Even if things happened before you came in office, if somebody tried to tap your phone lines or whatever, he's worried about the past. To me, I would say forget about that. You're the leader now of this country. Let's move forward. But he's throwing daggers at previous presidents for doing certain things when he might do something of his own that we don't even know about. So it's Trump's double standard that he has of his that he, basically was that's what he's doing.
Right. What about you, Jones? Where are you at on this?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I haven't been following it as much as politics this week. I've been getting kind of busy with the business, and I've been hearing bits and pieces. The first thing I would have to say is that, you know, same thing with, the Democrats and the Russia and everything else. We're going to need an investigation. And to come out and say it's true right now or it's not true because a couple of people might be covering their butts, let's have an investigation. Let's see. I mean, you know, from everything I can tell, every time Trump tweets something, it turns out that he was right. You know, he tweeted about Sweden. They got all over him. And the next thing you know, they send reporters in there and reporters get surrounded by gang members. So I would say let's see what happens. And as for Trump being presidential, I would love to see Obama be presidential as an ex-president and silently, quietly go away like George Bush did. I mean, Bush is finally now coming out and doing talk shows because he wants to hawk one of his new books and paintings. So, you know, to have Valerie Jarrett moving into the Obama house and, you know, from what we hear now, there's a secret coup going on. I mean, you know, there's so much stuff out there right now that people are reporting and talking about and blaming this side this side that. Let's get to the bottom of everything. I would love, you know, for all of this to be out in the open. Let's see what happened. And we do have to remember that Obama did wiretap Merkel from Germany. So it has been done in the past. So let's see what happens. Let's have an investigation, and let's go from there.
Well, one of the things I think that we need to keep in mind is that the President of the States does not have authority to wiretap anybody. It has to go for Congress and then from Congress to a judge to wiretap.
No, actually, there is an out, and it has to do with a military out. I was looking it up online this morning. A waiver that he can get around it without Congress. And unfortunately, I can't remember what the link was, but I did look, seeing somebody say, oh, no, he definitely can. And I can't
Call
remember
Linda.
The guy who I had seen it from.
All right. What about you, Don? What do you think? Where are you on this?
I think that we are seeing another episode of diversion and trickery in the late hours. the way to manipulate the media is to release a story like this on a Friday night or a Saturday morning, so it would be the center of attraction and the topic of conversation over the weekend. It's a diversion to keep it away from session and to get the media to talk about other issues. Now, you're absolutely right. You need to have a judge sign off to do a tap. And I don't know where you read that, but we haven't seen a judge step up and say, I'm the one that signed off on it. So let the investigation begin. We need to focus on issues that are ahead of us and the bills that he's going to explode on the first of the week. The first of the week, some bills are going to be introduced, and it's called diversion. Keep people away from what you really want to talk about. And Donald Trump is a master at it. I've been in the media for quite some time, and I've never seen a man manipulate the media the way I'm seeing Donald Trump manipulate the media. Don't be fooled. Don't be hoodwinked. Don't be bamboozled. It happens on a Friday night or a Saturday morning when he's at the Florida White House. On the way to the Florida White House, it's called Drop a Bomb, and you're going to see a pattern of this throughout the entire president every weekend.
Wow.
I would like to say he learned from the best, because that's how we got for the last 8 years.
Well, you know what? We had the best time in American history during the Obama administration. No wars. He turned
no
the country
wars.
Around. No wars. In
oh,
fact,
come on. We're still
up,
in Afghanistan and Iraq, and if he wouldn't have pulled out the troops as soon as he did, and we'd have been able to finish the job, we wouldn't be there right now. Now we have to send more troops in to finish the job.
Wrong.
And everybody told him.
That is exactly
that's
wrong.
That's absolutely incorrect. Being in the Middle East is unwinnable. Being in the Middle East is unwinnable. America being in the middle, the Russians got their butt kicked in Afghanistan years before, and I was in the military, and we laughed. We laughed at them, and then we were dumb enough to get in Afghanistan ourselves. Okay, there is no way you can win in Afghanistan. There is no way you can win in Iraq because of the tribal differences in all the people there. All right.
We have tribal differences here in America, and you don't see us all killing each other. Well, except for the Berkeley protest.
No. We don't have the tribal differences that they have in the Middle East and Afghanistan, okay? You can go to any college, and they'll teach you that, all right? We certainly do not have that. We're not a tribal community like they are, okay? Let me finish, because you've had your 5 minutes. Let me tell you a couple of things, all right? First of all, the NSA was the person who did the wiretapping on Merkel. It was not the President of the United States. NSA runs an agency to do that
type of
stuff. Secondly, all countries, that ship that was off our coast, the purpose of that ship off our coast was to spy on our communication system. That's why that Russian ship was off there. And the reason why they weren't dressed up as a fishing boat, because international law says you can't do that anymore. All right? But the second thing I want to tell you is that you made a statement about Mr. Trump, everything he says, being correct. And let me tell you something right now. If we all went into a psychologist and you said that and Trump said that, I think that you guys would be found to be deficient in your faculties. All right? This guy, Mr. Trump, used to call into the radio station before he ran for president and fake like he was somebody else. All right, just to create the type of news that he wanted to do. He did that for years, and we found out his speech pattern, and finally one day he was identified. So this is the type of jokes that he runs. I don't even know if this guy has a college degree. I don't know if his wife even came into the country legally. All right?
Oh, come on.
I do know that. I am serious. Let's go back to the birther issue. This is just akin to asking the President of the United States to let me see your birth certificate, And we have a doggone president that has not shown his taxes. We've got a president that tweets at 4 o'clock in the morning that he's been wiretapped without evidence. This guy is not a gentleman. He grabs people by their crotch, all right, and he has no respect for people.
What does a tax return have to do with being president of the United States?
I can show you a tax return and you wouldn't have a clue.
What does a birth certificate have to do with a guy born in Hawaii, huh?
I still believe he was born in Kenya because I haven't seen nothing and everything has been sealed. Why would you have to seal something like that?
Well, listen, I won't bother to argue with you. I will not bother to argue with you anymore if you believe that because it's not worth my time.
I absolutely believe it. And I don't understand what the big deal is on a tax return. I could show you my tax return, and it's not going to tell you 10% of who the person I am is, and especially a college graduate or education, because I don't have one. And I'll tell you what, I'm mopping the floor with people who have one.
I have a dropout education, and I have a high school education, and I have street smarts, all right? And I'm telling you that the guy we have as the president of the United States is ungentlemanly. He's a bigot. And I don't think he's going to last his 4 years.
I saw a picture of him next to Rosa Parks getting a beautiful award and Muhammad Ali for the stuff he did for the black community. I mean, I don't understand why all of a sudden this racist stuff comes up.
He hasn't done anything for the black community. Absolutely nothing.
You didn't see the picture with all of the black community that were there?
I don't know what mail you're reading, but those people, the professors that were there, came there because they thought they could. The deans of the school came there because they thought they could get some money from the president. That's why they showed up. You don't think black people would show up at Trump's office. Do you really believe that? Do you believe that a bunch of black people would show up at Trump's office? Do you really think that they would?
I wish they would.
Do you really
Maybe
think
that's
that black
the problem
people...
with the country. That is
no,
absolutely
the problem.
The problem.
You're just saying why would the black community want to work with a white president? If you look at his cabinet doesn't have any females. His cabinet hardly has any minorities. He has the least number of those other people that any
His cabinet hasn't been approved yet.
Let me tell you, it doesn't make any difference whether it's been approved yet. If you look at the people that have been.
What are we looking at?
You have the woman from Michigan who's education.
She's not a minority.
He just said no women. You also have Carson, who's in charge of HUD.
You got two women, okay? You got two women. How many blacks do you have? One?
How many Latins? How many black? How many Hispanics?
Yeah, how many people speak Espanol? How many Muslims do you have?
So what we're saying is we need to have a cabinet due to affirmative action is what you're saying.
How about we have the smartest and brightest people in there?
And I don't care if they're white, black, yellow, green, or orange.
You should have a cabinet that reflects the general population of the United States. That's the best process.
Not if you can't find one qualified enough.
You can find them qualified. The problem is that you have to be the type of person that can attract those type of people. And Trump is not the type of person that can attract those type of people because Trump is a bigot. He was a bigot from the day he rode the escalator down and said that all Mexicans were criminals, okay? He was a bigot.
All right. Let me get in. I think Jeremiah wanted to say something. Go ahead, Jeremiah.
Now, I was going to say something similar to that John might understand, but remember the Detroit Tigers before Miguel Cabrera came over there? I don't think they're attracting, top talent level players. So the same thing with Trump, right?
Well, actually, it was when Pudge Rodriguez came over. He's the one who brought Miguel with him. So, Listen, I want the best people on the team. I don't care. Listen, you might be a great Cuban shortstop, but if I've got a different shortstop here that's a lot better, I'm going to go with the better player. I'm not a fan of affirmative action. You get a job just because you're a minority. You get the job because you're the best person.
You don't get the
job
because
plain and simple.
I don't think you understand affirmative action. All right, that's your perception of affirmative action.
I understand affirmative action very well.
Let me tell you what my perception of affirmative action. Affirmative action perception is that you give people of equal qualifications an equal chance. All right? You cannot have a military or a government governing all the people, and those people are not reflected in the management of the organization or in the general population. If you do, and you're a minority, you automatically understand that something's wrong.
Hey, may I ask you a question, sir? May I ask a question, sir?
Sure.
You sound like a thriving businessman, and I give you a lot of props for being a thriving businessman. Let me ask you, when you opened up your business, did you have to show your income tax when you got a loan?
I'd never had to get a loan.
Okay, you were blessed. When you bought your home, did you have to show your income tax?
Yeah, I had to show 3 years only because I was, you know, self-employed.
So if you had to show your home, your income tax to buy a home, why shouldn't a president show his income tax to run the number
one? And if you weren't self-employed, you still have to show your income tax to get a loan. And I know that because I'm in the real estate business.
Well, the point that I'm making is, if you had to show it to get a home, why shouldn't you have to show your income tax to run the world's free country in the world and be the president? Why not?
Because the way I look at it is, and the reason I voted for Trump is because this country is a business, and that's the way it needs to be run. We are bankrupt. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't
understand. You're not answering my question. You're not answering my question.
No, I just did. It's not. He's not buying a house. He is running a company. And I told you, when I went to get my business license, I did not need to show my income taxes to get a business license. So if you're running this like a business.
You know why he won't show his income tax? I'm going to tell you why. Because it will show improprieties in dealing with other Russian people and unscrupulated people that do
that
not
doesn't
reflect.
Show up on a tax return.
It will show who he's got loans from and who he's dealt with
not
financially.
Not on a tax return. A tax return only shows income and worldwide income. It is not reported where you have the income from. When I have overseas income and overseas investments, all it shows is that I paid a foreign tax. It doesn't say what government I paid it to. It doesn't say who paid it to me. That's what I'm trying to explain is a tax return is all it does is shows your worldwide income.
Let me just say this right here. It shouldn't be any. Just like Barack Obama had to show his birth certificate, Trump has to show his tax return. Did you hear what I said?
Great point.
But I haven't seen a birth certificate yet.
He has to show
everyone
his tax
I've seen
return,
it.
All right?
Oh, it's going to show he's a billionaire. I would like to see Obama's tax return, how he went in making $200,000 or $400,000 a year and came out over $20 million.
Obama has already showed his birth certificate. We're going to now get tax. We're going to get the tax return from Mr. Trump one way or the other. It's going to be revealed one day, and that's going to happen. And there's going to be a big hullabaloo, all right?
It's not going to show anything. Like I said, it's going to show.
Let me just tell you right here. He has write-offs. He has write-offs, all right?
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to pay any taxes because of his write-offs, which he's indicated that's the case. And so it's going to show what the write-offs are, okay?
Yeah. But it's not going to show where it went to. It's going to show advertising or it's going to show materials. That's what I'm trying to explain.
Write-off is specific. It's for machinery, equipment, building, cost,
exactly.
Or whatever. So it's going to show the general specific area where the write-off is. Okay, it's going to show the total amount of income that he actually has made. All right.
So as a businessman who has hotels around the world, he's not.
Well, let me give you an example. People
Russia.
Say that he couldn't be that smart because a guy that has a casino and has to close a casino is not a very smart guy. He said. Who has to have a casino and close it? Okay.
Well, there's a couple in Las Vegas.
A casino is a money taker. A casino is a money taker. All right. And somehow Trump managed not to do that. The other problem that Mr. Trump has is he didn't pay his vendors. He has a tendency not to pay his vendors to promise them one thing and then shortcut them when they get the job done. So that's
you know
that's
how many times
I
that happens to me with customers. I have had individual customers on a $120,000 job after they paid me $100, decided they paid me enough and they didn't need to pay me the extra $20. So I've seen that go both ways, and I have sued people.
In college, they have what they call business ethics. But the problem is when you invite somebody to talk about business ethics that's in business, nobody will show up to do that talk. All right? So my point to this whole thing is that we're not – I'm not looking for a businessman. I'm looking for a president of the United States. There's a certain characteristic that I'm looking for in a president. And let me tell you where I get that characteristic from. The secondary place I get it from is my service in the military. There's an expectation of the type of individual you're going to do, be honest, fair, and above board, and that you're going to treat everybody with equity, and you have integrity. So that goes all the way up the chain of command. So at the top of our chain of command, we've got a guy without integrity.
Okay. Right? Now,
let's say you hire a painter,
and he comes in and doesn't finish the job, or it's a crappy job. Are you going to pay him?
Hey, look, Trump has a tendency to find a whole lot of crappy jobs.
Simple yes or no.
I'm going to follow through, and I've had people – I'm going to follow through on my part. I had a guy that didn't finish the job here, and he said, keep my tools. And I said, oh, no, I'm not going to keep your tools. A year later, he came by and picked up his tools. All right? And that's because I teach this class, okay? And this class is part of our faith. And if you are religious and everything, you cannot do that to people and be religious. It's like the Pope said, it's better for you to not ever heard of Jesus Christ than to indicate you're a Christian and cheat people. All right? So
I agree 100%. But, I mean, if you're signing a contract and you're going into a negotiation with two different people and one person does not fulfill that contract, then that contract's void, and you don't have to pay what they end up, you know, what the original contract said. I mean, that's simple business. Everyone who's in business knows that when you get onto
I've read the stories on Mr. Trump and his dealings with contractors, and you can read them as well. And he's run a lot of people into the ground because he's committed to pay them so much money. They've done the work. And at the end, he's renegotiated their price, slashed it by a third, typically, or less. And a lot of people do not want to work for him, okay, because of that. And there's a lot of people currently that don't want to work for him. I mean, he had a problem getting a national security advisor because Flynn, who was kind of off the rock, kind of crazy, he had to resign, and then the guy he wanted to pick, the Navy admiral, basically purportedly thought he was getting an F sandwich, right? That's a sandwich that you would have in the toilet made up with Wonder Bread working for Trump, okay? And so someone said, well, this other guy, McMaster's working for him. Well, McMaster's in the military, and it's not a voluntary job, all right? You go where you are told to go. Or if you've got enough time in service, you can resign, and they may accept your resignation or retirement. But you've got to work for them until you're fired or relieved of duty. So, I mean, what you've got is, I don't know if you were really aware of this, but you've got a crazy situation right now, to some extent, running the government of the United States. And I think that he's not going to come to his full 4 years. Because one of them, people like me, I am not going to let up. I have never been this heavily involved in who the president is. But I am now because I have a total disdain and a total distrust of him. I do not trust him with the nuclear weapons of our country. I do not trust him as an example for our young people in this nation. I do not think that he's above board in his dealings with people. And he has had a history of being caught in discrimination in New York City. He's had a history of falsifying who he is and going to radio stations and purportedly being someone else to create stories that he wanted to have in his favor. And now he tweets these ungodly stories, including this statement that he just got through telling this wife, that Owens, that lost her husband, about, you know, how he's in heaven, he's smiling down. Yada yada yada. All right, he took advantage of that lady at that particular time.
Oh, come on! And so did Obama with that I can't remember her name, but I mean they rolled her out everywhere you possibly could, and I mean that was, you want to talk about distasteful? I mean that you couldn't get more distasteful for that.
Well, wait a minute.
I mean,
here
you're
talking
honoring
about
God.
Yesterday. We're talking about yesterday. I'm talking about yesterday. And you're talking about yesterday. Well,
well, exactly. And what? Because it didn't happen yesterday. That's not relevant.
Let me get in for a second because you're listening to the man's voice, and this is the man's voice. And we're here on Sunday, March the 5th. It is now 6:30 p.m., and we've been talking about this for half an hour, and we need to move on. But I want to make sure that everyone gets a chance. So let me ask Ron.
You started this, David.
Ron and Ron, did you have any last comments you want to make about what we were just listening to? Because we need to move on. I want to do Ron and Bruce and find out the last comments and then move on. Ron, do you have anything to say about this?
The only thing I'll say is, you know, we've already said this before. I think Trump needs to stop acting like a 15-year-old and try to gain the respect of everybody on both sides as much as possible. I know it's going to be impossible for some people to give him respect, but, you know, he needs to earn it. And acting like a 15-year-old and tweeting, I mean, come on. A president doesn't do that.
All right. What about you, Bruce? Any last comments? On this particular subject.
I don't know where to start, but hey, guys, you know, we've all of us together, myself included, if we don't stop this BS and this schoolyard kicking sand in each other's face, and I'm not saying everything's a lie or everything's false. I'm just saying we don't get out of this rut of doing this back and forth. We're never going to go anywhere. That's what people are so tired of. I've just listened to this for 20 minutes, guys, and it isn't necessarily opinion. It's just arguments. And we're supposed to be a group that's trying to help people move on. What Ron said about, and I said earlier as well, I concur with him, that, yeah, Trump's got a lot of faults, just like Obama did and just like Bush did and so on and so forth. And we can debate the faults forever and stack them up in lines and see whose stack is higher. But that doesn't get us anywhere. We need to try and set an example and get to places where we're making some substantial differences, positive differences. And this bickering back and forth and this defending my position is a bunch of crap, guys. It really is.
I want to say that one of the things we talked about was Obama and his birth certificate, but we have to realize that Trump did say that he agreed that Mr. Obama was born in Hawaii, and he put that to rest a long time ago. But I also want to say that psychologists over the years have put together a profile, and this was done years ago, and it says that, am I going to ask you a question? What do you think, when a person comes in office and he uses the government, the apparatus of the government, to support their whims, and worse, they also seek to punish their predecessors in office and political opponents, and we've seen people do this over years and years and years, what kind of a person do you think that is? What kind of person do you think that is, Jeremiah? Psychologists have said they profiled this person already. A person that comes into government and they uses government to support their whims, and worst of all, they try to punish their predecessors. What kind of a person do you think that is? What do you think psychologists have labeled that as?
A lot of words come to mind. A lot of small words. It seems like he's being vindictive.
No.
Me?
What about you, Don? Psychologists have that. What do you think?
Well, I can answer that real quickly. It was one word. It's called dictatorship. It's called dictator.
Exactly.
And another thing, he's a dictator, and we are defocusing because Donald Trump has defocused us. Look at what's about to come down this week. The bills that are on the table this week are going to blow your mind, and you're going to hear about them starting Monday. There's about 5 to 10 bills that are going to be released this week. And when you see this, you're going to say, oh, my God, what a diversion program.
Well, I didn't want to
it's
say
a dictatorship.
That. I'm just saying that we don't want our government to look like that gets out, that's what he's doing, that's where it's going to go. I just want to put it in your mind so that when you hear that and people are talking about it, we can say, well, we're really a democracy. We're not that. Okay, so I want to move on, though, but I want to throw it out to a couple of you. Say, Bruce, so what do you want to talk about?
What do I want to talk about?
Yeah.
I mean, since we're still in the political mood of things, and we can't seem to... No. This is kind of a sidebar to that. It's not so much the political subject, but, you know, I do honestly believe that a lot of the press could be a much more powerful, positive tool for both sides, for both Republican, Democrat, and all of that. If they would just find a way to get the two sides, just really tried not to provide any opinion, just provide the facts, good, bad, ugly, or clean. And there's still a lot of people feel that that's not happening. And they're in a position where, people are just tuning out a lot of the press now. And that's not good either. That's not good either. I mean, the freedom of the press and having unobstructed, untainted information provided to us, however form it comes to us, is important. And we're going to other alternatives now. And that they say that's one of the reasons that Trump is tweeting. I'm not sure of that. But if the press took a leadership role, I guess is a simpler way to put it, we'd be a whole lot better off. They're not doing that.
Okay. I will say, though, that I do believe that the FBI did have some surveillance of Trump Towers, but I don't think it had nothing to do with the president or anything. I think when they were going through this, the Russian piece, that the FBI, of course, was told to do that. So I do think there probably was a lot of surveillance of Trump Towers, but I don't think it had nothing to do with the president or any of those other things. But there are places all across the United States that the FBI are gathering information on, gathering intellectual information on. And I think probably Trump Towers was probably one of them, because there's a lot. If word got out, because now you have one of the aides in the campaign saying that the guy from WikiLeaks, he had a back end door and was talking to him all the time. So of course the FBI was there, in my opinion.
Hey,
but anyway.
Hey, David.
Yes, sir.
David, if you could remember, he invited the Russians and WikiLeaks to chime in. He said, I wish you would release what you have. Now, if I did that, they'd be investigating me.
I mean, that's their job. That was their job. That's what they were supposed to do. I think the bottom line is going to come out to, they were being, taken care of, but it was only for intelligence information. It wasn't because somebody tapped the lines and stuff. It is what we want them to do. It's what, the Secret Service, well, not Secret Service, but the FBI and CIA, that's their jobs across the United States. But anyway,
yeah,
I think
one thing I'd like to state, David, if you're talking to a foreign national, you don't have to have a FISA court to approve your listening devices on that individual. That's what happened to Flynn. He evidently didn't know or forgot that when he talks to the Russian ambassadors, that his conversations are monitored.
And then we have, the Attorney General Sessions, who's now being recused from that because he was talking to them, too. And when he sent Al Franken, asked him, did he have any contact, he said no. Now it's out that he actually did. So, the FBI jumps right on that. That's what they do. But I don't know what's going to happen. But I do think the end result might come up with, yes, there was surveillance, but I do think it was something that they were just doing. I don't really know, but I think that, we should, let's look at it, let's clear it up, let's move on. I mean, this will take 6 months or a year, and we don't have that time to waste. We just need to move on. And up to this point, we were always concerned with police killings. Before the election, police killings was a big thing. Give me a number that you think in the first 3 months, how many police killings have happened across the United States? What do you think there, Jeremiah? How many killings do you think police officers have been involved in since the 3 months? Well, not even total mark, but January, February.
I would say in the teens. I'll go with 17.
What about you, Ron? How many police killings do you think have happened in the United States in January, February?
I would say 50.
50. What about you, John? How many police killings do you think have happened in the United States in 2 months?
I think 25.
How many?
I say five.
Five? Okay. And everybody, you know, what about you, Frank? How many police killings do you think have happened?
I'd say about 80.
80. And what about you, Bruce?
David, are you asking where police have been killed or killings as a result of police acting with the public?
How many people have been killed by the police in January and February?
I think they're all. I think all these guys are low. I think it's probably. I think it's even higher than several hundred.
And that is something that has gone through, you know, the back burner. We were all concerned with it at one time, but it's dropped through. But in 2 months, about 198 people in the United States.
Yeah.
We don't know it anymore. And so my concern is there are certain things that take precedent, like politics have now taken precedent on our news, and the things that are really concerning to us, because I think we as men, when we teach our kids to drive now, we need to teach them what to do when stopped by a police officer. What do you think about that, Ron? Do you think that's true? I think that needs to be in driver's training. I think it needs to be for us as men training our kids. When we teach them to drive, and it's usually on the man that does, although sometimes the wife will take charge when to the nerves, something won't get you. But it is something we're going to have to start teaching our kids what to do when they get stopped by the police. What do you think about that there, Ron?
Well, I think today's generations are much more outspoken and less, and this is just my perception of it, and less respectful of policemen in general. So I think there needs to be, you know, some education going on at home. But on the other hand, I think probably even more so, police need to be educated on, you know, on how to deal with different types of situations so that it doesn't get out of hand. And, you know, something that doesn't need to end up in a shooting or a killing ends up in that way. But I do think in general, you know, kids nowadays are less respectful for whatever reason of policemen.
So several of us have children. I know, Bruce, when you taught your kids how to drive, was that ever a conversation?
Probably as a passing comment more than anything. It didn't have the focus it has now. There wasn't the fear, concern, whatever, that it set, you know, make sure you have your hands in a certain way and put the lights on and all of it. No, none of that was taught. But I remember always telling my two children that you always be respectful. If you're stopped by an officer, it's yes, sir, yes, ma'am, this and that, and be respectful. That's about as far as I took it.
Wow. What about you? Let's see, Don, I know you have grandkids coming up, and I know that is something that, you know, we're saying we should do, but do you think that it's going to be necessary for you to do? And at what level, how much of the driver's training do you think they should take on this? And what kind of training do you think they should take?
David, as you know, hello, David?
Yes, sir. Got you.
Did you ask me?
Yes, I did.
Okay. As you know, we've been doing a series called Hope and Healing here in South Florida with the Wiggins Agency. And that's one of the things that we said that must be done. It's not an option. It must be done. Now, I'm like Bruce and the rest of the gentlemen that spoke. It wasn't taught by my father, but we as men must teach our children how to react when you're stopped by a police officer. For example, hands at the 10 and the 2 o'clock on the steering wheel. If you're going to go to your glove compartment, let the police officer know I'm going to go to my glove compartment. And and respect all the way. You cannot solve an issue in the car. You're going to have to solve an issue in the courtroom. And we must teach our young people that. You don't try to solve a police officer disrespecting you on the road. You will never win. And so that's one of the things that we must teach our children.
Right. Frank, I know that you have grandkids coming up also, and it's too bad we're in that period of time, but the number of police killings so far in the last couple of months, it's going to be important. How much of it do you think needs to be for children?
Well, I agree 100% with Mr. Wiggins. You know, my training in the military is we don't argue with a sentry, and a sentry is a person that's doing the type of activities that a police is doing. I'm always suspicious of a police officer when I am stopped, but I always communicate with them in a very courteous fashion. I always let them know, do I have permission to go to my glove compartment? And sometimes they ask me, do I have a gun in there? Which I almost unfailingly start laughing. And I agree wholeheartedly that you can't solve anything out in the street. I always look at taking it to a higher authority, which is the judge. And I quite often do show up in court, and 9.5 times out of 10, I always win in court in front of a judge where I might not be able to do the same with a police officer. So that's what I'm going to teach my two grandchildren. And that is the conduct that I've had over the years, and I have been stopped. And I've had people stop me because I was driving black, and I've had judges throw the ticket out as well.
Right. Yes, I've had both also. So I have a letter here from one of our listeners, and I'm going to have to change it up a little bit. But the question is, and this is going to make you guys laugh, what do men like to talk about with their girlfriends or wives? So let me go to John. What do you like to talk about with your wife? If you had a subject, what do you like to talk about?
Well, I got to tell you, I'm probably one of the luckiest guys out there because my wife shares all of my hobbies. And so whether we're four-wheeling or snowmobiling or boating or fishing or at the racetrack, you know, we spend so much time together, and and we're able to discuss, you know, our different hobbies. Right now she's taking golf lessons, and I just got her a new set of clubs, and, you know, so we have just an endless amount of things that we talk about. We don't really talk a lot about politics at the house. We enjoy going to concerts. I think we saw 18 concerts last year, and so, you know, it's just there's a lot of different things, luckily, that, you know, we share the interest in. And, you know, we'll talk about that and those things. You know, today we were changing the oil in the four-wheelers and, you know, getting them ready for spring for our first couple of trips. And so we're talking about that, talking with our friend who was out helping us. You know, where are we going this year? What are we going to do? You know, what trips we got planned? And so I'm lucky. I mean, I don't, you know, I include her in everything I do. She includes me in everything she does. And, you know, she does have her time where she goes out with her girlfriends and stuff. And I go out to the gun range and shoot. But my wife shoots also. I mean, you know, she's a better shot than I am. I'm more quantity over quality. And so, you know, we'll get to the gun range and we'll be able to sit around afterwards, have a drink, and we're going to, you know, we'll talk about, you know, what we did the day before, what we plan on doing next. But, you know, it's not a lot of politics. And, you know, we don't really talk a lot about business. She's got a great job. I've got my business. And, you know, at 6 o'clock, we break out the bottle of wine, and, you know, we don't really get into, because we both know we're in high stressful, you know, jobs and stuff. And so we kind of stay away from that, but it's mostly the hobbies and, you know, the things we like to do together.
Right, the shared interest. What about as the dating person on the board, what do you, Jeremiah, what do you talk about with your girlfriend? What do you like to talk about with your girlfriend?
Well, I would almost agree a little bit. Events, let's just say, because, you know, having a girlfriend, you always want to spend time with them or say, hey, let's go to a concert, let's go to the movies. Most of the time it's what's coming up next that you guys can go and and view or adventure and experience. So maybe a new movie coming out, games, sports. It depends on the type of girlfriend you have. Her interest might be limited on things that you are interested in, and that's where you bring her over and let her experience that as well. Also, I would say what's big to me is progression. I mean, if you're dating someone, you're committed to that person, you want to see growth between both of you guys. You want to see her grow and you grow as well. So I would say, you know, I would promote whatever she's trying to do, whether it's, let's just say, her career, school, her own business, or something like trying to learn how to cook or whatever it is. You always try to promote the person and what they're doing and praise their achievements.
Well, Jeremiah, let me jump in a second. Okay, this is your first date with a young lady, and you've asked her, she looked nice, and you said, okay, let's go out. She agrees. What are you going to talk about on that first date? Say you're just getting out, you're going to a restaurant to eat. I guess the question is, what are you going to talk about the first date when you meet the person? What is the conversation going
to
be
like? If we're already at a restaurant, I would start talking about, you know, what kind of restaurant you go to. What kind of food you usually eat? What's your favorite foods? So she understands I'm trying to get to know her. You kind of started off like
that. Okay, I get it. All right.
And then if you want to branch off to other things, if you have some little suspicions you're curious about or anything you want to know, that's how you kind of branch off to it, you know? Try to get her comfortable as possible first. You want to try to get her as comfortable as possible. And then after she's comfortable, her guard is down a little bit on that first date. Or, you know, sometimes you
go ahead.
Go into that second date to go a little bit further.
Okay. All right. So, Don, I know you've been married for a while. What kind of stuff do you like to talk about with your wife?
Well, I'm going to take it from one extreme that you just heard to another extreme. I've been married to a wonderful wife for 37 years. And my wife is a playwright, so she writes plays. And we used to talk about reality shows and surreal shows and sitcoms and things of that nature. But now she talks about politics, man. She thinks politics is the new subject over all these sitcoms. She says, this is the biggest sitcom I've ever seen in my life. So my wife just watches the politics daily. I mean, seriously, she's a politician.
You better keep up with her, Don.
Say what?
You better keep up with her.
Hey, Bruce, it's kind of hard, man, because I tell you, nothing beats that boob tube and this politics. She goes to MSNBC, CNN, Fox TV. Man, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, Frank, what do you talk about with your wife? What do you like to talk about with your wife? Did we lose Frank? Or he doesn't want to answer?
Yeah, I can. Yeah,
scared,
David. We've been married for 49 years. It's a love affair. And what we, you know, we're currently, I think politics are one of the subject matters, at least, foremost on my mind, and I'm probably the guy that's tracking all the stations and all the tweets and all the news. And normally, what I do is my wife is a very prayerful person, very church oriented, and she's smart, and she's very attractive. You know, I have some things, that just personal things that I talk to her about her attractiveness, okay? I like to do that a lot. And I also share with her, we cross-share our feelings and our depth of feelings in regard to these civil matters. So, you know, I am a legislative advocate. I do know my way around Congress pretty well and the state capitol pretty well. And I do advocate. And then what she does is she works some charitable events. She runs a golfing tournament and things like that. So she tries to support me, and I try to support her and what we're doing. We have good communications with each other, and we do have separate times that we spend you know, I'm a golfer, so I go golfing, and she exercises and does things that that she likes to do as well.
Okay, so it sounds like in relationships, from beginning to end, it's what you have in common with the person, and try to figure that piece out, and that's the piece that men like to talk about with their wives, or is what you have in common, and how to make that better, or how, you know, or that piece. So that's what I got on what you guys are talking about. Did I get that right? Did I get that right, Don?
You got that right. And if you notice in the comments, the kind of older guys, they seem to talk about worldly events more so than how to get next to you.
Well,
all right.
And one other thing I'll add that I'm not very good at, but I'm always trying to get better at, is being a good listener.
Okay.
And we tend to, women, and I'm not putting them in a classification or anything, but I think anybody that is really cares a lot about either their wife or their girlfriend, or whoever's sitting across the table from them, if you can really mix a lot of good listening skills with the talking, you're really going to have a very strong combination to work with.
All right. You know,
hey, David, can I add one thing really quick?
Sure.
I would just like to say, you know, for the younger guys too, you know, when I'm talking to a young lady, you know, I don't too much get into getting next to them, or, you know, I just more of, I be myself. When you're a five-star kind of guy, it comes to you. You don't have to try to talk it into it, touch it into it, or it just happens for you when the time is right. So with me, you know, I'm a five-star kind of guy.
Go ahead, bro. I hear you.
Those guys, those 2 and 3 star kind of guys, they got to kind of, you know, talk their way into getting something, or, you know, try to touch their way into getting some things. But I just firmly believe when somebody likes you, she's feeling you, she already knows if she's going to take it to the next level with you. So you don't have to second guess or underestimate yourself and try to find out and see what's on her mind. Just be yourself. Be assertive to the guy you are. And things will happen, whether it's negative or positive.
All right. That sounds good. All right. You know, I have something. The basketball people, I hope you can explain it to me. But I know Saturday night, Duke was playing, and Michael Jordan announced that Tar Heel football team to wear the Jordan brand, of course, after Michigan football. But he also made a comment that, going around and everybody's trying to figure out what it meant. What did he mean by the roof? Anybody know? Anybody out there, basketball person?
He said
was making this big comment, and everybody's like, the ceiling is the roof. What does that mean? Anybody know? Can anybody tell me what that means?
That again, David?
Well, I understood that, David.
You did? What does it mean? What is that?
Well, you got to go all the way to the top.
You got to go
all the way to the top.
I think he's trying to take the Jordan brand to a different level. That's what I think personally. I don't know. I might be wrong.
Yeah, I think he was talking about the football down. I think he's talking about the football program down in North Carolina. You don't stop until you get to the top.
Okay.
In other words, the football program down in North Carolina isn't as good as the basketball program is in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay.
And drive for excellence, all that kind of stuff.
You know,
yep.
Michigan was one of the first schools to sign a contract with Jordan to design and make their uniforms, you know, daily or every game, whatever. So he's trying to build his Jordan brand and expand it, to me, just like he did a couple of years ago with cleats, and I think it was Derek Jeter or something like that with the Jordan brand. That's what I think. He's trying to expand the Jordan brand.
Okay. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening again to the Sunday, March the 5th show. I think we've had there were a couple of people asking if they wanted to get on board, and they said, no, we just want to listen. We don't want to get into that. That was earlier in the show. We'll just listen. No, please. But I think that we had a good show tonight, and I want to thank the panel. Thank you, guys, and I will See you guys again here next week at 6 o'clock. We're here every Sunday at 6 o'clock. The Man's Voice, if you, again, would like to call in and talk, we would like to have you. All right, guys, I'll see you again next week.
Have a good week,
have
everybody.
We'll have a new president next week.
Wow.
hey, listen.
Haters are going to hate.
new bills.
Oh, there's no hate.
Bills are coming. New bills are coming.
You can't be
coming.
A Christian
new
and
bill.
Hate. But if it's a banana peel.
University of Miami, number one shooting class.